At least 9 people are dead and more are feared killed in a recent attack on Christians in northern Nigeria. While kidnappings of foreign nationals keep the world's attention focused on the oil-rich but desperately poor Niger Delta region, human rights organizations are concerned, too, about the continued Muslim-Christian violence in other parts of Nigeria. I spoke to Christian Solidarity Worldwide's officer for Sub-Saharan Africa, Dr. Kataza Gondwe, about the latest interfaith violence in Nigeria.
In the Tudunwada area of Kano, there's been an attack on Christians and an unknown number have died. The official number is 9, but from what we are hearing, the level might be much higher than that. When the area was finally visited by people who were allowed to go in, they overheard a policeman, a local policeman, saying that he was tired of packing up bodies and describing some terribly mutilated corpse that he had to deal with. So the situation is pretty dire. It seems that the violence broke out because there had been tensions previously throughout the northern and central Nigerian region concerning the publication of unspecified cartoons internationally that were deemed to be offensive to the Islamic religion and depicting the Prophet Muhammad. I hear there's one cartoon in Bangladesh that was publicized, and also another in Sweden. But as usual in these circumstances, when something happens internationally, Christians in Nigeria tend to bear the brunt of the reaction to it through acts of violence such as this.
So what you're saying then, that this is by no means an isolated incident. However, am I wrong in saying that incidents such as these seem to have gone down?
Well, in one way you are wrong and another way you aren't. The incidents were pretty intense during the earlier 1990s. From 1999 onwards, several states had been campaigning for full Sharia law. And during that time and during the institution of full Sharia by 12 states now so far, there were frequent outbreaks of violence against Christians. And frequently you heard of people being killed and villages being attacked and all sorts of terrible atrocities taking place. Since 2004, I would say they may have diminished a little. This followed the outbreak of violence in Kano, where, according to the Christian Association of Nigeria, at least 2,000 Christians were murdered in retaliation for an event in Christian Plateau State. After that, the Nigerian federal government took some decisive action against Plateau State, funnily enough, and incidences seemed to die down at that time. However, there are still periodic outbreaks of violence against Christians, but usually events abroad are used as a pretext. As you're aware, there's an outbreak when the Danish cartoons were published in 2006. And more recently, what you're hearing are terrible attacks against individual Christians or small groups of Christians, such as the murder, very brutal murder earlier this year, of a Christian school teacher on a false pretense of having damaged a Quran or disrespected the Quran, who was effectively lynched by her students. So that kind of thing keeps happening. And in the run-up to the publication of the cartoons, we were hearing of problems in Plateau State, where a certain region in the capital city, Jos, was being controlled by Muslim gangs who would stop people and ask them whether they were Christian or Muslim. And if they replied with the wrong answer, they would actually mutilate them quite badly. So that was an ongoing thing. And then the cartoons came up, and we were hearing rumors that people had threatened to actually take action once Ramadan was over. But it seems that with this incident, a false allegation was set up that students at a school had drawn a picture of Muhammad on the mosque, and that proves the basis to just start off violence even before the end of Ramadan.
Well, 12 out of Nigeria's 36 states apply Sharia law, which is based on teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, the practice of the Prophet Muhammad. Many Islamic countries implement Sharia in varying degrees, some more strictly than others. Punishments can include beheadings, public hangings, stoning, and whippings.
What we're talking about is the full Sharia, the Sharia penal code, because Sharia was already sort of at work in Nigeria, but really to do with cultural and social and family law issues. That was already, the whole system already instituted throughout the nation. However, what these states did was actually bring in the Sharia penal code, so you had Sharia punishments for offenses such as the stoning for adultery and, cutting off of hands for theft. And by bringing in the Sharia penal code, you have a penal code that is actually contrary to the federal civil one. And what they did was effectively institute a de facto state religion in the areas where this is being practiced. And this in itself is a violation of the Nigerian constitution that says that no religion should be given preeminence over another because Nigeria is a multi-religious state. So 12 states have either introduced it fully or are still in the process of introducing the Sharia penal code, which will make Islamic law the primary law in these states.
You're saying that the Sharia goes against the federal law. What is the government doing to bring these states in line with the federal government?
Well, they've done very, very little. Under President Obasanjo, what you had was a president who stated, oh, this is just a political ploy that will fizzle out. When it failed to fizzle out, he still didn't take much action. And as the violence, the religious violence continued, there was still no real action until the issue that happened in Plateau State that triggered off events in Kano. And Kano doesn't take much to trigger off killings in Kano because there have been periodic pogroms, is the only word you can use, against Christians in that state throughout the years. So when that happened, he actually penalized Plateau State, which is a majority Christian state, but did nothing to penalize Kano, which has a Muslim majority. But that is the most that the government has done. Another thing that they did as well, much more recently, and towards the end of the Obasanjo regime, was that they issued a federal challenge to the establishment of Hizba, which are Sharia enforcement squads, like little almost militia groups that enforce the Sharia, making sure women wear the right headdress, etc., etc. And they said that these things are unconstitutional and should not be funded by the state because the money comes from the federal government, and they, haven't given the money for that. So Kano again challenged this statement in the Supreme Court and lost. So recently there's been a ruling that the Hizba, whichever state has created a Hizba, should disband the Hizba. But we would just wait to see whether the new government will actually enforce that.
As Gondwe explains, then, some Sharia practices in Nigeria are applied in stark contrast with the country's federal law. Striking the right balance between the Islamic law and Nigeria's federal law will represent a challenge to the country's new president, Umaru Yar Adua, sworn in last May.
We just wait to see how he will react. He himself is a very devout Muslim, but he's also seen as somebody who is less corrupt than most, or corruptible than many people in leadership in Nigeria in recent years. So we just pray that he will be also a man who will bring about reconciliation.
What is being done at a local level to overcome these religious barriers, to encourage reconciliation among the different faith groups? And I also wonder, is it just the Christians who are, targeted, or is it also traditional Africans?
Yes, traditional Africans are targeted as well, and have been targeted throughout all of this violence, as well as the Christians. But because Christian churches, et cetera, are much more visible, I think you'll hear more about their religious structures being destroyed. But in terms of the killings, they will kill the followers of traditional beliefs. And also, they kill people who look as if they're not from the northern region. So you might have somebody who is an Igbo, for example, from the south, and he may or may not be a Christian, but because he or she is visibly not from the north, they are killed as well. In terms of reconciliation works, there are a few organizations that are trying to undertake reconciliation work and have done some important work. In the area of Kaduna, there is a pastor and an imam who have worked together to bring about peace. They're called Interfaith. And they have tried to spread their message of peace and reconciliation, working with the two different communities and then bringing the two communities together. There are other organizations at a local level that are trying to bring about reconciliation. But in terms of the higher level negotiations, there is a bit of anxiety that whenever, I think the CAN secretary, general secretary, actually expressed this after the recent killings, that although they are meeting with Muslim leaders at national reconciliation talks, every time there are meetings, there's another attack on Christians. So he expressed his wonder about whether or not these people can actually control their people, and of whether or not it's worth continuing with these meetings if every time it happens, it just leads to another attack. So there are efforts, but there are also a great frustration about people who may not be going to these reconciliation talks with true motives, if you see what I mean.
Dr. Kitaza Gandwe of Christian Solidarity Worldwide.